Hey everyone, welcome to the final episode of season 8 of Myopia Movies.
Now, first, we're going to wind up this week of non-traditional animation, or at least non-Disney animation, with Genndy Tartakovsky's made-for-TV movie, Ego Trip, which I think is not only fun, but really messed me up when I was younger. Second, I wanted to say that while this season is ending, we're going to get a lot of new content. For those of you who do not know, we have ended our Patreon. It was just, you know, a lot of work with me with two kids at home. But with that in mind, that means that you, who were not a part of the Patreon, will get a handful of new episodes, either from the back catalog or from the Patreon. And what's more than that, you're going to get two episodes a week for the entire month of July. When we start fresh at the beginning of August, you're going to get all new content once again. So don't you worry. Thanks for everything you do, guys, and thanks for supporting us through our 8th season of Myopia Movies. Bye, guys.
Welcome to Myopia Movies. We're starting the show. We're drinking because we watched a kid's show.
We did.
Yeah. So, the last movie, I believe, finally in our animation month, after Rockadoodle
and Transformers.
And Shrek. And
the Transformer, the movie.
The Transformer, yes. And Tiny Toon Adventures, How I Spent My Summer Vacation.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, we're finally getting to Wacky World, and we're doing a Genndy Tartakovsky Disney, or well, Cartoon Network movie.
Yes.
Dexter's Laboratory Ego Trip. This is a 50-minute movie, so it'll probably take us somehow 2 hours to talk about.
Obviously.
I'm your host, Nick Hoffman, Riff Ronson Improv, and I'm here, so that's all you need.
Who else do we have here tonight?
Is it you?
I am Matthew Quinn, the boy who saved the future.
Yay! I'm Candace, the person who pressed the button.
Ah-ha! Ah-ha! I am Daniel!
I might be the one to lock off this episode. I don't know how any of this is going to be salvageable or anything. So let's just poke Daniel and Matt to make impersonations and redline their microphones by yelling at me. All right, so we did the animation, which was almost effectively Genndy Tartakovsky's leaving of the show to do Samurai Jack, because Samurai Jack started in 2000.
Didn't he do a Star Wars show at one point?
There was a Clone Wars show that looked a lot like this.
That was it. He did that as well.
Which was going on simultaneously with Samurai Jack.
Yeah.
And he wanted to leave Dexter's Lab, but it was a smash success. So he negotiated to do this before he left, and someone else picked up the show, which is, if you're our age, you might remember, starting around 2000, it had a completely different animation style.
Yes.
Yeah, and although I remember there was a finale at one point where his family finds out about the lab, and that was like a big, like, it lasted another year, and then it was canceled, but then it came back like 3 years later.
It was one of those things, because unfortunately, this and Powerpuff Girls were their most popular shows,
yes.
And everything else kept failing, so they kept bringing them back. And Greg McCracken, who also helped make this, made Powerpuff Girls. And, like, the two of them kind of accidentally ended up running the Cartoon Network because everything they made landed. Nothing else did.
What about the guy who made Cow and Chicken?
Again, Tartakovsky worked on Cow and Chicken.
Yes,
and on Two Stupid Dogs. So, like...
Wait, Two Stupid Dogs.
When Ren and Stimpy was too overwritten for you, you did Two Stupid Dogs.
Wow.
Love the Two Stupid Dogs. Not necessarily the show, just those characters.
Yeah.
What was the one with I Am Weasel and I Am Baboon?
No, that was Cow and Chicken.
It was Cow and Chicken.
I Am Baboon and I Am Weasel.
Mm-hmm.
That has the greatest cop-out of any theme song, which was Mama Had a Chicken... Mama had a cow. Dad was proud. He didn't care how. And you're just like, okay, that's like LARPing at a furry convention.
Oh my.
You know, that's a little too close to home, just saying.
So you're at the furry festival? Is that what you're saying?
I don't even want to know which part.
I'm saying that when you have a LARP, that you are allowed anamorphic creatures that the furries come to play.
That reminds me of a Robin Hood movie we did a long time ago, which was the Touchpoint for Everyone's.
Oh, you mean the Disney one where oh, that's a good one though.
But it's so
that's the moment
awesome.
Where everyone's a little bit of a furry. You're like, I could do that.
You know,
I'm into that.
I'm into that.
I'm into that.
The furries come to play. That is the plot description of the latest A24 horror movie that's going to be released in like 6 months.
Starring also Nick Cage somehow.
Somehow.
If we're lucky.
What was it? Freddy's Wonderland?
Willy's Wonderland.
Willy's Wonderland.
Which I saw.
Was it good?
It was all right.
Yeah, that was what I missed. I'm glad. I mean, first of all, Nick Cage working Pig was one of the best movies last year. Let it work. Just keep fucking throwing shit at him because he'll show up and he'll act his ass off. Anyway, so Dexter's Lab. I'm sure everyone who's listening watched the show, but if you didn't, it's all on HBO Max right now, so you can look it up. But essentially, Dexter is an Austrian child. He's one of those secret Hitlers that you have running around, but he's a genius.
Oh, so this is a spinoff of Boys from Brazil, that's what you're saying.
Based on the accent, kind of. But you have this kind of middle-class suburban family, mom, dad, and daughter Dee Dee, and then Dexter, the youngest, is this boy genius.
I also just want to say, mom was thick.
Yeah, she was made by Pixar. Everyone else,
definitely.
Everyone else is Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah, mom had that same vibe as the chick from, again, Powerpuff Girls.
Yep.
That same class thing, and Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy.
Yeah,
they have that same kind of character.
Oh, you're thinking, what's the name? The secretary lady?
Yes.
And the nan, and the woman at the preschool also yes. was kind of thick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a reason why that's very popular right now, and I think it was Dexter's Lab.
Gross. So Dexter's Lab made you a man.
I think it's popular for the anal sex.
Well, I mean, how many people...
I mean, yeah, but also, yeah.
Yeah.
She's a lady because she has a boat. And a dump. Like, and a dump truck
and
right
dump?
There. A dumper.
She's got thighs like a truck. Truck.
Why do we keep going back to Cisco? How is he ruining our lives?
Because he's actually, like, lurking in the closet over there.
No, that's R. Kelly.
No, I mean, that's just where Cisco lives these days. He's just in Nick's closet. Nick throws him a sandwich every day, and that satisfies him.
I'm just reminded of South Park. Tom Cruise, the closet, he won't come
that's
out.
That's what she was referencing.
So I pull out my gun.
And
so Nick doesn't give him a sandwich. I pull out his gun.
God damn it, man.
Well, R. Kelly's in, I believe he's in prison now, but anyway.
Is he?
He was
I mean,
on
he needs
trial.
To be. I'm just curious. Like,
I heard he was.
I just feel like he's too rich to be in prison.
Yeah, he doesn't think he...
We need to find this out immediately.
So he is most definitely trapped in the closet.
Yeah, right.
He is in jail.
Oh, snap.
For imitating a police officer.
That is not what I was expecting. Okay.
All right, so Dexter's Lab Ego Trip. This was a big event movie. I think it only aired twice on Cartoon Network back in the day. You can still find it online, but I don't think they've officially released it.
Although, the version we watched on the used tube said it was updated in 2018.
Yes.
So I don't know why, I mean, and it is available. So if you want to watch it, I'd say watch it. Because I looked for ways to pay for it or where it's streaming, and it's just not.
It should be on HBO Max, but it's not.
It's one of those things that ended up in development hell because of the fact that it's owned by two different studios. One which is now, I think, defunct. Because the old Hanna-Barbera, which produced this, no longer exists.
Well, that's a Turner property,
no.
isn't it?
Turner absorbed parts of it, but not all of it, and that's why it's kind of in freedom. Which, again, if anyone cared, they would have taken it down, because it's not like it's pretending it's not Dexter's Lab.
Right.
Right, like...
This is Mexter's Bab.
Or what they do, honestly, is they speed it up slightly so the bots can't find it.
Yeah.
Which this didn't do.
No. This is exactly how I remember seeing it back in 1999.
With crisp animation.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful
animation for what this is.
Genny Tartakovsky, man. He's the best. Anyway, as he's off making Popeye for 2024, the century-old cartoon about, I guess, vegetable consumption.
The original product placement, that's what it was.
It was war propaganda, right?
Yeah.
I thought the spinach companies just paid them to make a cartoon to sell spinach.
I'm sure. As very World War I, World War II war propaganda. Like, you know, join the Navy, eat your vegetables, only fuck one woman, you know, that sort of thing.
And if you're not thin, you're evil, I guess.
Yeah. Definitely.
So Bluto is thick.
He's evil.
And therefore evil.
The only way he could be more evil is if he were neon green.
He even has a beard.
Because neon green equals evil in Disney. So.
Pop out my heart certain.
he even has a beard.
Like a communist.
Yes.
Communism. The red threat.
That's right.
It's coming to the table near you.
That's right. And the radioactive forearms is because he used to volunteer in Nevada. You see, it all fits together for the war.
Oh my
God. You mean
God.
New Mexico?
That's
what they want you to think.
That's right.
I'm just looking at a picture of a sad R. Kelly, which I need to close now. Smiling Eddie Deason. Even better. So I can't do the Dexter's voice because it always ends up even sadder than the last time that we tried it. But
Nicholas, what are you doing in my laboratory?
Well, see, what you need from a friend. Someone who sounds worse. So, this is such a stupid movie with a stupid... No, okay. So, Dexter...
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
What it basically is a Doctor Who stories.
Well, I chose this because I thought it would be appropriate for a multiverse-centric world that we're living in right now.
Yes, indeed.
It's true.
And so with...
Thanks to Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Which is hitting streaming next week as we record. And the Doctor Strange multiverse movie, which is hitting streaming 2 weeks after that.
Yeah. I wasn't the biggest fan of the new Doctor Strange movie.
Though. I mean, I was fine because I like Sam Raimi, and it feels like a Sam Raimi movie. And whenever
Sam Campbell was in it,
And so whenever he's on screen, I'll take Sam Raimi. You know, hey, you gonna pay him the big bucks? You get Sam Raimi for the big bucks.
That's
you know,
sure.
You have to take a little bit. I'll take it. You know, I'll take it. So Dexter beats the shit out of Mandark dressed up as Draculia. And after beating up on Draculia...
Oh my God, that onesie that Mandark's wearing the opening. Well, first it opens with Mandark as Elmer Fudd from What's Opera Doc. He's like doing the motions and then the credits are playing.
Well, we get some good animation here. But anyway, there's a MacGuffin which Mandark is trying to get, which has a name which is impossible to get. So I'm going to try to look it up really quick. But the Neurotronic Protocol, which means nothing. It's literally MacGuffin. MacGuffin.
Now, my notes originally called it the Subatomic Neuron Protocol, which I think is wrong.
No, it's the Neurotomic Protocol.
The Neurotomic... Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I was close.
Yeah, I mean, it means nothing. Other than it's supposed to bring science to the future, make everyone happy and, like, utopian nonsense.
Even though it looks like a... imagine if somebody who knew nothing about physics drew an atom. That's what this is.
You just said like Dr. Manhattan kvetching. Anyway, after kicking the shit out of Mandark, Dexter goes back to tightening the bolt, which is an homage to the opening credits where he's just tightening a bolt for no reason. Dee Dee comes in, fucks with his stuff, and he kicks her to a...
She tries to fuck with his stuff, and then he tells her to get out, and so instead of leaving through the front door, she leaves through the time machine.
Which we don't know is a time machine yet.
It's pretty obvious that it is.
I think it's pretty obvious it's a time machine. I mean, other than it being a phone booth, it looks exactly like a Bill and Ted, Excellent Adventure.
It's the TARDIS.
Yeah, it's the TARDIS. I mean, it has that look.
Yeah, she goes through the grandfather clock, and then out of the grandfather clock comes five little robots. Which Dexter assumes is coming to destroy him.
Yeah, because they become five big robots.
And they are told to destroy the savior of the future, so he goes full Iron Man for a second, stripping naked for everyone, for a little TNA.
Oh, yeah, there's so much TNA in this one for some reason.
Oh, and funny edited TNA later on, where Mandark comes naked out of a pool, and we know he's naked because the robot then slaps underwear on, but to remove the butt cheeks, they have him in a thong bikini. So he puts a thong bikini on and then has his underwear over it, which means that
Which means it wasn't a thong bikini, it was a dance belt.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a dance belt. He's a superhero. That's what you wear under your superhero costume.
That's right, so you don't get inappropriate bulges.
That's correct.
When you're rescuing Mary Jane or whatever
happens.
That's
right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so then Dexter goes through time to figure out how he became so awesome. Period. That's it.
He decides he doesn't want to wait for the future. He wants to see how he saved it. And so after that, he goes forward in time about, 15 years or so?
Yeah, 20, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. And he ends up in Metropolis. where, you know, the...
Where he's a gimp working behind a desk, and there's a very homoerotic scene where he is whipped.
Yeah, it's strange. Naked. I mean, we get Mel Gibson's inspiration for Passion of the Christ here.
Yeah.
Basically. He wakes up, we have...
Without all the drunk ranting.
Yeah, without all the anti-Semitism. I mean, Mandark only calls him sugar tits the one time.
I think Mandark's speech beforehand is some pretty dead-on drunk ranting.
Mm. Oh, it was quality. So Dex wakes up, and they have a very Jetson scene where he's getting dressed and having his teeth brushed by a machine. He ends up behind his desk at 8:57 or something.
8:52, if I recall.
Yes, and he's almost late, so which would imply he has to be there at, like, what, you know, 9 or something. So.
Which is a office space. Like, you don't have enough flair. You have flair, but not enough flair.
Don't you want to express yourself?
I'm sorry, I don't. This is 20-something Dexter.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, he's a totally broken cubicle slave.
Yeah. And then he's designing cubicles, which... Also, there's literally nothing sadder than that.
That's right. It's drawing another square. But my favorite part is, this is a dystopian future where everyone's not a name, they're a number. I am a name. I'm not a number.
I am not a number. I am a human being.
And he's number 12, which means he signed up real early in this process, or Mandark just forced him. He's still not, like, number 2 or 3. He's number 12.
Do you think that's a prisoner reference, like, number 6 times 2?
A, of course, because it's getting hurt and asking you've seen it all. But also, to me, it's even somehow sadder than if he was number 3,000 or something. Because we get the story later from bald, like, ripped Dexter that... They started together, they moved to the chain, but Mandark was better at the glad handing, and Dexter wasn't.
So, and this might get us sued, Dexter is Steve Wozniak, and Mandark is Steve Jobs.
Kind of, yeah.
Aren't they both dead?
Steve Wozniak is very much still alive, I believe.
Matt, latching on to the crucial point, which is sometimes people die. But also, yes, he was referencing the fact that one was more famous than the other. But as an aside, yeah, turns out that Dex is still doing all of his designing, and that Dexter's impressed with his older version. He's just pissed off that he is so soft. As Daniel already mentioned, and I mentioned, we see his ass cheeks here, his very square, flat butt.
Now, the animation in this segment is incredible. Well, throughout the special, it's incredible, but here, really, it combines every single... future sci-fi trope you thought of. I mentioned Metropolis. It's also The Incall and The Fifth Element, which came out a couple of years before this.
You mentioned The Prisoner as well.
And The Jetsons. I mean, the...
Well, they actually literally referenced The Jetsons throughout this whole show's history, so why not mention it again? But it's also, if you've never studied film, you could learn almost everything you know for this. Because, like, Dexter is cowering, and they flip the camera around, and Mandark is standing, and between his legs you see Dexter cowering. It's perfect film
up. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you guys behind the curtain, we recorded this the same night as Transformers, and Transformers is fine. It's a mess, though. This, you could have on mute, and you understand the power dynamics, because it's that well-directed. Like, you don't even need colors to tell you things. You know what's going on, and this does it so seamlessly because he's so competent as a director. Which is why I'll probably end up seeing Popeye, despite my better judgment.
Throughout this entire movie, another thing, I was just missing Christine Cavanaugh, who passed away
8 years ago.
And she was just, if you were around in the 90s, she was big.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Rugrats,
she
Babe.
Was Chucky.
Yeah. This right here, she's Dexter, and she just doesn't get enough credit the way Rob Paulsen does or Mark Hamill does.
Well, I mean, to be fair, though, no one cared about that stuff back then. Like, even Mark Hamill was doing Star Wars shows, but not talking about the Joker at the time. Like, I mean, the Joker did have a movie. Like, they opened a movie, Mask of the Phantasm, which he's in. But, like, you know, there weren't cons in the same way until the early 2000s, and by that point she wasn't doing it anymore.
Yeah.
Because even Dexter was replaced the next season by a different voice.
Yeah, she retired like, I think in 2000 or 2001, and then just didn't do anything after that.
Yeah, I think it's 2001. After that, everything is things that were already recorded before she retired. The Wacky Adventures of Ronald McDonald.
Oh, really?
She was Birdie.
Of course. That's part of the McDonald's Scared Silly program.
It is.
It is.
In fact.
I know. So are you impressed that I knew that? That's right. Eat a bag of dicks. I worked at McDonald's. I was a McDonald's manager, and I was sent to McDonald's University. I'd like you to know there's absolutely nothing different about the job I do in healthcare now and working at a McDonald's. Everything I learned at McDonald's, I apply to my everyday life of working in a hospital.
So was it you fry people? Yeah, was it at McDonald's you learned how to use defibrillators?
You know, at McDonald's you learned that if you got time to lean, you got time to clean.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, and I mean, there were lots of, you know, you never put the manager on the register. It's the same concept in a clinic, actually. So it's, I mean, I jokingly say this, but they're a billion-dollar corporation for a reason. Like, they actually have really great ideas. It's just, you know, everyone who works there sucks.
Kind of like at Mandark's company, Dexter... Dexter's a cube slave there. He actually designs the cubicles in the office, and past Dexter goes to meet his future self, and then he finds the core. I'm not going to recite what its full name is again.
Yes.
And then they just said, let's go further into the future and figure out how we saved it. And they go to this...
They go visit Roman the next utopia. Dexter. Yeah, you go to the next Dexter.
Who's like a Wizard of Oz figure at the top of the tower.
Yeah, they essentially overshot where they saved the world. And so now they're already in the world that is saved. And they meet the eldest Dexter.
And as well as Tom Kenny as that Fey museum guide.
Yeah.
And Mendark is a...
Now,
Mendark
Tom
is like
Kenny,
a
he did SpongeBob, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, he's done a ton of stuff. He was Heifer Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
He was on Mr. Show, too.
Okay, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, he's in this movie as well. And
So now we've met the elder Dexter, and he also doesn't remember how they became famous like this, which implies to me...
I didn't know it was my birthday.
Which, I'll tell you, it implies to me that time is not linear in there. It's a very timey-wimey, like Doctor Who concept. Because none of the Dexters can tell you what happened previously. They only have the memory of once they have met the current Dexter going forward. And it's creating... It's much like the episode, the Christmas Carol episode with the fish in Doctor Who, which is possibly one of the best episodes ever written. And it's as you watch... the character create new memories as they are happening alongside the Doctor. Right. And he's like, that never happened. And then he turns the camera and he goes, but it did. And so it's a very, like, I could see very great parallels between that.
First and foremost, you're correct. That is one of the best episodes
of
Doctor
Who
ever.
Oh, my God. Oh, I cry so hard every time I watch it.
Yeah, we'll watch it together. We'll have a good cry.
Oh, let's cry together.
Which Doctor?
Matt Smith.
Matt Smith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Karen Gillan was still in that. But
yeah,
anyway,
she was. Yeah.
There are so many plot holes in this, though, when it comes to time travel, because technically speaking, you can't go and visit your future self because you've removed yourself from the timeline when you time travel.
Well, again, it's supposed to imply that it's not linear. It's not the butterfly effect concept.
It's a multiverse.
It kind of does.
It's a stable time loop, I think.
Yeah.
Except it kind of does, because... Dexter goes to the future. He makes his 20-something self. They leave the core out.
Yeah.
Mandark finds it. That leads to the future that they eventually end up in with 40-year-old Arnold Schwarzenegger Dexter.
But it implies that child Dexter is the one who's initiating the changes.
Right. That's
the whole time.
That's true. But then how...
Otherwise, teenage Dexter would remember the time he went to the future and met himself.
Exactly. So, or elderly Dexter would remember when he was a teenager going to visit elderly Dexter.
Elderly Dexter was checked out.
So elderly Dexter is now, they decide to get back into the Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure Grandfather Clock and go back a little bit in time to find that midway perfect space where they find them as a badass.
Are you saying that the time travel causes dementia? Is that what happened to Ronald Reagan?
Well, I mean, possibly. We know it causes vomiting based on a 20.
I mean, it could cause a concussion, and repeated concussions cause Alzheimer's, so.
Well, Mommy, I've seen the future.
I'm not
going to forget. Mommy,
that Bill and that Ted.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure
they
that
told you they would get rid of the wrong contract.
You know, Barr, I think I was in office when that movie was released, Barr. But anyway.
You got to make sure they pass their history report or someone's going to military school.
Well, so
then they go and they pick up badass Dexter, which is essentially right. The one who saves her. Now, at this point, we now have four Dexters. We have Child Dexter. We have sniveling 20s corporate Dexter.
12.
We have Grandpa Dexter. And then we have, he looks like he is Irish Renfest Dexter.
Yeah.
And so I would like to play a game called Fantasy Football Dexter. Here at this table, which one, if we were going to cosplay it, who is who at this table?
Well, I know I'm not Irish Renfest Dexter.
You said you are?
I'm not.
You're not, okay.
I'm not.
So who are you?
Oh, I'm definitely, sheesh.
I'm Renfest Dexter. I'm the tall one.
Okay. You can be Renfest Dexter. All right, so,
do me a favor, so someone, Nick, and let me hear you say, "Let there be fire for all" in that voice.
Let me be fire for all.
You know what he is.
Okay, all right. So right. What's left now is super old Dexter, super young Dexter, and in the middle. Like corporate Dexter.
I mean, the fun one is super old Dexter.
Yeah, that would be fun.
And he's just waving a wrench at people, and he says Schmageggy. Now,
I don't know, I feel like that's Matt.
Schmageggy?
Yeah, I feel like Matt would be zooming around this little thing, like slapping his wrench at people.
So they invented technology, just really quick, where wherever you think of, you can have. And so Nerd Boy thinks of the Faye Tom Kenny character, whose name I don't think we ever get.
No.
He's wearing like a headband. Like the android from Empire. And he kind of thinks of a sphere that looks kind of
His name is Lobot. He has a name.
Lobot. He thinks of a sphere like Jurassic World or The Prisoner, and they're floating along. And old man Dexter just thinks of a UFO from like Galaxian, and he's floating around like a space invader.
Like
and
Dr.
it's awesome.
Robotnik.
It is. It's awesome. It's
he's
such
like the guy from fucking Farscape.
It is. It's
what the yachts?
Exactly.
I mean, but also, if I could just think stuff up, I'd be like, I think I'm too drunk and tired to go to sleep, and just think of a little thing to hover me upstairs. Like,
and then the second you get into a beam of light, you fall asleep.
It's fucking funny. I'm
right,
sorry.
I'll be young Dexter. I feel like I'm the really aggressive one of the group.
Wait, I'm corporate.
Calling people so stupid.
Yeah, you're
I'm
Dexter getting whipped.
I'm corporate slave Dexter.
Yeah. You're right. Making cubicles and getting spanked.
Well, I mean, let's talk about that later.
I mean, one of them's right.
While younger Dexter is harassing you about it. What is wrong with you, you stupid older...
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and take five in your bathroom, Nick. I'm going to be right back.
Oh, dude.
Don't worry, it's coming up because we're about to figure out who's going to be the Mandars, too.
Oh, the Mandars. Oh, yes. Boy.
Okay. All right. So now we've got all four Dexters out on the playing field.
Uh-huh.
And they face up against the four
Mandars. So there's
first we meet Baron Harkonnen Dexter, as Daniel described him.
Mandark is the one in the dystopian future who's just like in the hot tub filled with his own sweat.
Yeah, like his own like little Bacta tank or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we get this glorious shot of butt cleavage, which is hoisted by a
yummy.
So that's his only pleasure at this point is atomic wedgies from a robot.
Yeah,
we've all been there. And then we've got we've got Draculia
like at the start.
Emphasis on the cool.
Yeah.
And there's corporate overlord.
And there's
Elon Musk Mandark.
Yes, uh-huh.
And there's the brain in a jar, which in the far future, that's all Mandark is a brain in a jar.
Definitely.
He just curses people.
Yes. Okay, so I'm going to go out on a limb here. Matt is brain in a jar, Mandark.
No, first of all, at Dragon Con, if someone doesn't cosplay as Elon Musk Stark, like... You just dress like Elon Musk and you pretend like your dad didn't get all of his money from South African like jewelry mining and like slave labor. And then just carve a little M into your forehead. That's kind of all it is.
And you've got to get the white streak in your hair.
But that's awesome. So he's halfway between Mr. Fantastic and Mandark.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'll take the you know, Harkonnen Mandark, only because I'm okay with the thought of being swung around from a rope by my underpants.
Titties
that's fine.
Out?
Yeah, definitely. Titties definitely out.
Okay.
I'm like a twisted Cirque du Soleil act.
So man, Dark du Soleil just
being swung around on your underwear via rope. Yeah. You can catch Candace in the latest Jackass movie.
It'd be silks, you know, because I want to keep it classy.
Well, no, but I just love that his greatest strength is centripetal force.
And then he's just like fucking swinging around.
And Dexter like nimbly avoids him and then tries to fight back. And he's like, oh no, he's coming back around.
He smacks him again. That's fabulous.
And Dexter punches him. He just comes all the way back around again and knocks him into a wall.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Can I be...
You're young Mandar. Mandar is a leotard. Dracula outfit.
And the mismatched socks.
Definitely mismatched. Right,
and that leads me corporate.
You're checking timesheets and running AR reports.
Wearing the tie up high and tight. And,
your little, and I like the cufflinks.
Oh, the
cufflinks.
do you mind letting me borrow those two secretaries that were like massaging your feet?
I know,
for you,
right?
Dexter?
Dude.
And I mean, again, this is a... There's some odd sex jokes in this. Like, when we're introduced to his house, his parents are playing Twister, and she goes, oh, Dad, do you think that would fit? It's not gonna fit in there.
And at that moment, I was like, everyone has played Twister at some point, hoping it leads to sex.
Mm-hmm.
The game should be just called, it leads to sex.
Wait, hoping?
Well, I mean, you know, you don't always want to lead to sex. Sometimes people join in where you're like, I don't really want to. But they're there, so you know.
I mean, you've never been in one of our Twister games.
That's true. I mean,
the myopia only fans.
That's part of the only plans.
My only fans.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Gross. Just a bunch.
That would have been part of a Patreon special.
Would that it could. Would that it could. But then. Second sexual thing, are these women massaging him? Where it's just like, I mean, they're wearing these bikinis that are just drawn on, but like, they have like the 50s like torpedo boob thing going, but the bikini doesn't cover three quarters of it. It's crazy animation for this kid show.
It's glorious.
It's fantastic. And he's just getting his, like, he's just getting massaged in a hot tub, which turns out to be his future, so he nails it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He knows what he likes, which is hot in tubs.
Yeah.
But then we get Dexter publicly whipped in like this circle where he's like in like a Christ pose and a whip comes out. It's really on the nose for metaphors.
Yeah, I mean the corporate scenes are kind of 1984 in Brazil-ish.
Well, it's Brazil specifically because the guy who's going to save humanity is crucified and publicly whipped. Well, like I said, it's Brazil. It's so on the nose for the Christ imagery that we get it. And then he's put back in his cube, and Dexter accidentally gives away the plot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, I mean, what's the future supposed to be? Is that kind of a Wizard of Oz sort of thing? Or
honestly, to me, again, it turns out to be a good thing, but it's depicted as Brave New World.
Yeah, kind of.
Right?
Except... Because it's Cartoon Network, far less sex.
But we see the kids having sex play. They're chasing each other and grabbing at each other. The people are making out in the field.
Good point. Yeah.
I mean, that's why I thought of it immediately. But they're, like, there's good vibes.
How
for
did
all...
I not notice that?
Yeah. You see the kids, like, grabbing at each other. They're running around. And the two couples are just kind of making out in the field.
Oh,
and there's good vibes emanating from this giant phallic object in the middle of everything.
Well, except Brave New World was also a dystopia, and...
Which is the point. One person running everything as a dictatorship is never peaceful.
Especially when he's senile and doesn't know what the hell's going on.
And
smarter satire. Because remember, Genndy Tartakovsky fled the Soviet Union in the 70s.
Well, his family did.
Okay, so he was seven. But still, like, you know, you get it at a certain point.
I think it was more supposed to imitate the whole Wizard of Oz look.
Sure.
You know what I mean? That whole Emerald City vibe.
And he's the old man behind the curtain.
In fact, when you see... When weak Dexter, weak corporate Dexter gets hit and he finally, like, you know, mans up, if you will, and he stands right up, it's a tiger, a lion, and a bear that come out.
And then Mendor.
Oh, my. And then Mendor says, oh, my. And then they fight, by the way. That was really cute.
That is a good little hole hidden, right there. That is a little hidden good thing, hole.
Just so you know.
Also there's smart. There's Thank a Shawshank you. Redemption thing in here because the corporate digging. Slave Dexter crawls like a mile of tunnels out of the office, and by the end of the time he emerges the ground, he's buff.
And he's bald.
Just like what happens with Tim Robbins in the Shawshank Redemption. Crawls through the sewer, and then Arnold Schwarzenegger comes out. And I get what you mean there, man.
He crawled through a mile of bad plot and came out the other side clean.
Crawled out the other side buff.
Yeah. Crawled through half a mile of bad plot. Whatever was going on.
So, I mean, pretty much at the end, we have the two Dexters and the old Dexter who's confused bring Buff Dexter back. I mean, we can mention this introduction, which is go ahead.
Can we? I guess we were getting there. Let's describe what's happening when they get to that timeline where everyone's living a medieval lifestyle, and there are square wheels, and people are wearing shoes on their head, and sleeping in glass, and.
Because Mandark has banned all science except for his.
Well, here's the weird thing. We never know what that protoatomic neuron core is, or however you pronounce that. But apparently
it sends out negative or positive vibes.
Well, what it's supposed to do is it's supposed to essentially highlight Dexter's brain power and share knowledge with the world. That's what we're told. And what Mandark did, is make it negative. So in an effort to make himself the smartest man in the world...
He takes away all the
science and technology of everyone else.
Oh, okay. You know what?
I get this.
That was a little lost on me.
It's the Batman Forever plot, then.
Oh.
With the Riddler.
Kinda. Which came out after this.
You're right.
Oh, you're right. It is. Sorry. Mm. Like 3 years before this.
That's such a good movie.
It's so much fun. But as we do this... Dexters are coming out into this mud pit world with Shoehead Man, and like
no one can make fire.
Well, and he gets, as they say, the fire to come out of the wood by taking some beard hair and some, you know, flint.
Didn't they also imply that the whole Mandark absorbing everyone's knowledge was kind of an accident? Like he was trying to project his knowledge onto the world, but accidentally reversed it so it was negative?
Yeah, because, like, that idiot Mandark put the blah, 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 blah in reverse.
Yeah. I mean, that's right. I seem to recall Arnold Schwarzenegger Dexter saying that somehow the core affected his mind and made him crazy.
Well, yeah, it took his already crooked mind and made it pervert or something like that. But one way or another, what he's done is create a series of robots that destroy any semblance of technology.
Right.
It's the Overlord's machine men!
Except Buff Dexter smashes them all with a wrench.
And many other things. I mean, Buff Dexter is the shit. He is a badass.
That's when the movie started getting fun for me, because I didn't like the beginning much at all. But then,
I didn't like sniveling Dexter. There's nothing I hate more than weak characters.
And then we end up with, as Nick put it, Mad Max meets Mega Man or something like that.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, and the thing that's specific about this world is we don't know what Dexter's been doing other than apparently being the hero that destroys these robots. Which is kind of neat. Like, it's a very Dark Knight Rises kind of Batman's gone and we need him so he's returned kind of story.
Are you saying this is the story of a Dark Knight returning? Like the Dark Knight Returns?
Yes.
Wow. That's incredible.
But the three Dexters have found the lab. The titular lab. The thing that makes Dexter work.
Well, the whole thing is that the time machine can only move through time, not space, so whenever the Dexters come out, it's wherever the time machine happens to be, which initially is Dexter's old house, and then it's some museum, and then here it's like the old lab, but...
it looks like a bomb hit!
And so they just come out in this canyon somewhere.
And then Buff Dexter apparently had forgotten where the laboratory was, so...
He didn't forget. He thought it was lost.
Yeah, because the whole Hellmouth has destroyed everything. what they've done with this world, though, which is kind of neat, is everything's changed. The topography has even changed, so Dexter wouldn't know where anything is. We don't know how, but it's understandable. Like, that's why I thought it looked more like Mad Max. Like, it's this ecologically destroying wasteland, which is...
In other words...
It actually looks like Samurai Jack.
It does, yeah, very much so.
All those, like, pointy mountains and shit, I was like, I know you.
And the irregular
angles. I've
seen
you before, yeah.
Yeah.
And so what they do is they build a giant robot, which Dexter so want to do, to fight Mandark, which is great. And we talked about the kind of four-on-four fight, which is kind of awesome.
It is. I mean, it's that robot climbing up Mandark's fortress, which is a mountain, pointy mountain that's covered with M's.
And, I mean, it's Mega Man. It's very on brand. It's right. But you also have kind of every sci-fi thing that's ever happened. You have the, like, the spider eye guys that are, you know, in everything. Minority Report, they're in all sorts of Philip K. Dick and Clark, Arthur C. Clarke stuff. You have, you know, the
lava pits from, like, Edgar Rice Burroughs stories.
And you even have towers. I mean, it's very Lord of the Rings. It's very Fighting Sauron or whatever. But I just dig it. It's all very cool. It's all well designed. It's all thought out. The robot has practical uses and is intentionally designed, but not Batman 1966, where it's like, well, there's one use for this thing. No,
I got the Dexter shark repellent. I did kind of like the Joe Biden guns that this robot had.
The finger guns?
The finger guns.
The finger guns.
Pew, pew, pew.
And,
will this robot take away some of my student loans?
It'll probably not. It'll promise to, but it probably won't.
God damn it.
Not nearly enough.
God damn it.
And then we have the final fight between the big four.
Yep.
And the spoiler ending. After they fight, they fight, and they fight, and they fight, and Dexter's this close to reversing the beam.
They end up in Mandark's main control room, and after the four-on-four fight, it's like this conga line where the previous versions fall on each other, and then the original Kid Dexter almost...
It's very similar to, like, Human Centipede.
No.
Well, it's like the sequel...
Yeah.
The better movie?
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be... If it hasn't already been released by the time this is, then it'll be coming out soon. Fuck that movie so hard.
But
I did not need to see someone masturbate with sandpaper, but apparently I had to.
What was that movie he made that never got released?
I know what you're talking about. It's like
the Something Club?
Yeah.
Where a bunch of women would get together and masturbate looking at footage of 9/11?
Yes. No, that exists. That is something he made. It's just never going to get released because nobody in this country wants to distribute it.
In this country.
Cut to the, you know, Iranian movie theaters.
Oh, I don't think Iran wants to do it either.
No.
They have dignity. This movie does not.
So... And obviously women don't deserve pleasure.
Okay, yes. North Korea.
It's called the Oenia Club.
The Oenia, yes.
Oh my
that's
God.
Right. I remember John Waters doing his like top 10 of the previous year, and that was on there. So
yeah, if John Waters thinks your shit's great, your shit is awful.
Yeah,
that's pretty much how
it works. Waters, but no.
No, he was even like, "This shit is the fucking worst thing ever." That's why I love it, because it's so perverse. But anyway, so it ends up in a conga line, and that's how I'm still going to describe it.
Okay, we'll use conga.
With Kid Dexter reaching for the override control. To make everything positive. And then what happens?
Deus Ex DD shows up. And it's kind of the best ending to this because Dexter wants to be the hero for no reason other than his own ego, hence ego trip. And DD just traipses in and gives her, ooh, what does this button do?
Ooh, what does this button do?
And then she saves the world.
And then she just turns around and walks right back into the grandfather clock.
And all four Dexters are so pissy about it that they start building robots.
They make a robot army to kill their sister.
It's the same robot army that Dexter fought at the beginning, so circular time loop.
Yeah.
And
they have such a funny joke about that.
Yeah.
I mean, and then he tries to explain the plot and then gets sad and walks away, which is funny.
And travel makes my brain hurt.
But also, just as a side note, this is the only time we see Dee Dee other than the very beginning when she has no lines, which I guess means she dies in the apocalypse or whatever happens, because we don't ever see her.
Yeah.
Also,
maybe she was one of the secretaries.
Why would she just be a secretary in that universe if Mandark was still obsessed with her?
Yeah. Well, the fact
so
that
she's always with him, giving him massages.
She would clearly be the Melinda Gates in that future. Let's be honest.
Dude, she's still 11 or whatever. Like, this 50-year-old fat man is obsessed with a child. Like, this is such a weird thing that
happened. I mean, this is Hollywood, right?
That's true.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Oh, Woody Allen directed this.
Jesus.
Woody Allen Spector's lab. Just a lot of sitting under bridges and looking
Dexter,
at the
Dexter would have been portrayed exactly the same
Polanski's
way.
Polanski's laboratory.
Oh, my God. Polanski's laboratory. Which the worst movie you've ever seen.
Ooh. Because it's not allowed outside of the borders of France.
Yeah, basically.
No. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
That's okay.
But anyway, the actual final scene is after Dexter gets back, he's eating breakfast. Dee Dee comes to the table, and he just glares at her and walks away, and she shrugs.
Yeah.
Because it, for her, it's like the end of any other day with her, because she doesn't understand the importance of an episode of the show, which is kind of great. Yeah.
Well, and that's another good thing about this mini-movie, is that it's not like a prequel, and it's not something to end the show. It is literally just a giant mega-episode. It has nothing to do with, like, unlike the Powerpuff Girls movie, which is, I think, a prequel leading up to it or whatnot, you know, where it's like, we have all this canon to explain. No, Dexter's not that. It's just like, here's an episode with a bunch of Dexters. So many Dexters. In fact, you're going to fucking be swimming in Dexters. And they're like, and we're done. Scene. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and it's great, because usually Dexter's, what, like 3 to 7 minutes? Because it's like three shorts in a 22-minute show.
So yeah. Well, it was two Dexters and then a Dial M for Monkey, if you were lucky.
And then a Pinky in the Brain.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, this is fantastic.
And then the Huntsman, if you were lucky, as well.
But yeah, we can wrap this up. We've talked almost as long as the movie itself. So, Gannis, fun.
Yes, definitely. I didn't like the first part of the film. When badass Renfest Dexter showed up, definitely got better.
Yeah.
I loved the show as a kid. Watching it again, it really does hold up. The animation is great. The voice acting is actually pretty good, considering the limited cast they have. And it's actually a pretty smart script. It's got a lot of plot holes with how time travel works, but if you're looking for something light, and especially for something for kids, you can do a hell of a lot worse.
True.
Yeah.
I agree with Candace. I didn't like the first part of this movie, but then once we get Buff Warrior Dexter, it gets a lot more fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think overall, I'm more with Daniel. I think this was overall very well put together movie. I don't disagree. I just, you can't ever apply logic to time travel. Even, I pity those beautiful bastards who put together Doctor Who, because to figure out all that shit is really tricky, and all you're gonna do is make people mad, and that's why the last whatever 3 seasons or 4 seasons people have just hated on anyway.
I know. Poor Jodie Whittaker. Yeah. Great actress. She got totally robbed because the writing has been total mega trash.
Hey, Chris Chibnall, don't let the door hit your ass on the way out. You
for
mad.
Real.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, God. You don't know our rage.
No.
The Whovian rage.
But again, just like dealing with time travel plot lines, I've learned to ignore them all, because otherwise you couldn't even watch Back to the Future. But I thought this was well written and very well directed.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it like hell. And since it's free to watch on YouTube, just watch it. It's less than an hour. What are you going to do? What are you doing right now?
Yeah.
We've been talking exactly as long as this episode is.
Yeah.
So, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Next month, we've completed our 8th season. So we're going to dust a couple things off that were formerly on our now-defunct Patreon. We're going to re-release some Jurassic Parky stuff in honor of Jurassic Park.
Yes.
And on July 22nd, our 9th season starts.
Wow.
So thanks to all of you, the thousands of you who listened and subscribed, and all the people around the world who are apparently listening to us, since we hit the charts on 28 countries last year.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. And just to you, who's listening to me right now in your earbuds, thank you very much. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Myopia Movies is produced by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. Mission Briefing is hosted by John Copsey. Podcasts are edited by Daniel Settis, and Patreon is edited by Nick Hoffman. Our engineer is Nick Hoffman. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from Incomtech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.